So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. Most of us can quote it. If you can't quote it, you at least you're familiar with it. And so the 23rd Psalm, praise the Lord. If I can find it, you'd think it would jump right out at me. There we go. Psalm 23, of course, is a psalm written by David. And it is a psalm that has provided comfort for Christians for thousands of years. And it is short, but the more you spend reading and meditating on it, it's profound, I think. So let's pray, and we'll just get right into the Word. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your Word. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The 23rd Psalm, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and we'll go back through it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That's right. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. A lot of people have shepherds. A lot of people have people that look after them. Sometimes when they get older, you know, and they're in a nursing home, they have nurses that look after them. They have loved ones that check on them. Sometimes we check on each other, you know. We're supposed to do that, right? And we can all mean well. We can call and say, how you doing? And if the other person says, well, I'm not doing too good, we can empathize. But we can't always fix their problems. But the Lord, he can. Amen? So I'd be happy if anybody called me and says, Pastor, how you doing? Thank you. It makes me feel good. But the Lord can do so much more. And so we need him to be our shepherd. We need him to shepherd us. Amen. Now, when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I'm talking about the creator of heaven and earth. I'm talking about a God who holds the universe in the span of his hands, who Jesus said, with God all things are possible. Amen. And so when God is my shepherd, when the Lord God is my shepherd, wow, that's good news. Amen. I said that's good news. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when I say I shall not want, what are we talking about? You know, are we talking about wants that if I got them, I would not be good? It would not be good for me. David said, don't let me be so rich that I forget God and so poor that I steal. Some people would be self-destructive if they won the lottery. They would go crazy. They would do things that they would otherwise not do. So when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I won't want for things that I need. Amen. I need food. I need a roof over my head. I need my health. I need things, and God will provide. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I'm going to read these just for a different view as I go through them out of the Living Bible. And the Living Bible says, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I like the way that's phrased. Now, everything I need, again, is not everything that I want, because some things I want are self-destructive, but I have everything I need. Amen. And so I like the way that's phrased. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Say, so how you doing? Well, I'm doing good. You're doing good? Yeah, I got everything I need. How can you say that? Because the Lord's my shepherd. Amen. In verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I like that phrase, makes me, because we are, oftentimes, we don't want to lie down, do we? When I was a kid, I remember, I don't know how old I was, but I vaguely remember it. My mother said, "Come on, Roger, we're going to take a nap." "Mom, I don't want to take a nap." "Come on, lay down beside me and just take a nap." "I don't want to. I'm not tired, Mom." And I had these, she goes, "Well, take a couple of cars in and lay down by me and you can play cars quietly while I take a nap." Moms are so smart, aren't they? Now, today everything's made out of plastic, but way back then, I had these two rubber convertibles. They were molded rubber. I mean, the wheels didn't turn, they just were molded rubber. And one was red and one was yellow, and there was like a Cadillac convertible rubber. And I remember distinctly, Mom would always make her bed where the bedspread would go up and over the pillows, And I remember putting one of those underneath that, like it made a little bridge, and driving the other one under it. And that's the last thing I remember. Next thing I know, Mom's up. And I was like, "What happened? Where'd Mom go?" And of course, I fell right asleep within minutes, because moms know. And so she made me to lie down. And I said I wasn't tired, but I was right out. Amen. God knows what you need more than you know what you need, and He will make you lie down when you don't want to lie down. He'll make you be still. The scripture says, "Be still and know that I'm God." So often we're like that little child that says, "No, no, no, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that." And He says, "Okay, if you don't do it voluntarily, I'll make you lie down." A lot of people find themselves on a sick bed, and that we don't want that, do we? So if God needs you to be still, you better be still. If God says don't get involved in this or that, you're too busy, listen to God, because He wants you to be still. He wants you to lie down, because the place He has for you are green pastures. Now, if you had a choice between laying down in a green pasture or standing up in a rocky, barren, God-forsaken land, just because you don't want to lay down, that's not worth it, is it? So if you want the green pasture, if you want the cool, refreshing breeze blowing through your soul, if you want peace like a river and righteousness like the waves of the sea, listen to God when He says, "Lie down, lie down." Amen. Praise God. Now, verse 2 and 3, well, let me go ahead and read 3. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." He restores my soul. I love this because it implies my soul needs restoring. Amen. Our soul is our mind and our will and our emotions. Our spirit man doesn't need restoring. He's eternal. Jesus made him alive when we were born again, and it's the part that's going to go to heaven. But in this body, we have a mind, and we have a will, and we have an emotion. And oftentimes, our mind is bombarded with lies from the devil, and our emotions take over, and we feel fear and anxiety. And so all of these things are not from God, and God doesn't want us to be anxious. And so He says that He will restore my soul. Now, many of you guys know I went through a little phase a while back. I called it my midlife crisis. My boss at work said, "Roger, nobody buys a Gremlin when you have a midlife crisis. You buy a convertible." But my first car was an AMC Gremlin, and so as you know, I had a couple of Gremlins. In fact, everybody on State Street when I lived in town was like, "You that guy that has all them Gremlins, you know?" And so anyway, I flew out to Western Texas, and I bought a Gremlin, and I drove it back. And it was white with, they had that hockey stick stripe, and it had an orange stripe, and the paint was faded. And it had on the wheels, it had wheels with just a little screw-on cap that said AMC that just went right here. And that was authentic, A lot of people like the authentic. I didn't want the authentic. I wanted to soup it up, And so eventually I got a blue metallic paint, and you can actually order those decals still for any kind of car. And so my body man, he put them on, and it looks slick. And then I got Kreger rims and put on that thing. Rick remembers it, don't you, Rick? And man, it looked hot. I was driving one time in the Muskogee Mall parking lot, and I'm driving. I'm going from here to here before I park, and some kid about 15 literally chases me with almost like the equivalent of a block through that parking lot till I stopped, and he goes, "What is this?" He had never seen one before. And of course, I very proudly said, "Young man, this is a 1975 AMC Gremlin." He goes, "Wow." And of course, There's always those other people that insult it and say it looked like a shoe, and you just want to slap them because you think gremlins are cool, but not everybody thought that way. My point is, I had to take and spend some money, and they call it restoration, right? He took this old car and he restored it so it looked like it was brand new. And that's what restoration is. God is wanting to restore our mind and our will and emotion. You know, sometimes people hurt us. We struggle with unforgiveness and bitterness, and that is not God's will. And we say, Lord, I'd like to forgive them, but I can't get past this. I can't get past this. But because the Lord's my shepherd, He has the ability to restore my soul, to bring me back to a place of innocence and a place of forgiveness and a place of love in spite of what has happened, in spite of the thoughts in my life. God wants to restore my mind, my will, and emotion. He wants to restore my soul. In the book of Joel, God sent these critters, these cankerworms and locusts to Israel because of their backsliding. And they totally decimated the land. But then he goes on to say, you know, God may give us whoopings, but he doesn't throw us out, does he? You know, his chastisement is for our good. And so then he toward the end of the book of Joel, he says, the year that the cankerworm is eaten, I'm going to restore. I'm going to restore the year the cankerworm is eaten. And so God may give you a whooping. God may send you through a valley. God may chastise you, but then he will restore you to a place of honor. When you have learned your lesson and repent, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, we sang that song this morning where it says, He will guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, and we'll understand it better by and by. The Lord wants to guide us. He wants to direct us where He wants to go. We're supposed to keep our eyes on the Lord, to behold His face. Amen. You can't know where He's looking if you're not looking at His face. Don't look at His hands. You know, we have needs, but we look at His face. We put our eyes on His, focus our eyes on Jesus, and we see where He's looking, and then He leads us in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. And that statement, for His name's sake, means for His glory, right? And you know, when people see your life and say, well, this happened and that happened, and we didn't know what He was going to do, but then God directed Him over here, and look at how much better it became. And so God gets the glory, because God did it, not you, right? And so it's for His name's sake. The Living Bible at verse 2 and 3 says, He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors Him the most. Amen. And that's really what it's all about. Our life should honor Him. Amen. Verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. All right. This is an interesting one. If you've ever walked through the valley of the shadow of death, saying I will fear no evil is not an easy statement, is it? The valley of the shadow of death. Who but the Holy Spirit could group these words together, inspired David to write them? The valley of the shadow of death. I mean, it sounds like something Rod Serling would say, you know? The valley of the shadow of death. And just the words themselves imply fear. But the psalmist says, I will fear no evil. Well, how can you do that? Because the Lord is my shepherd. You know, our whole life is all about learning to trust God. Everything in our life is about learning to trust God. You know, just learning to trust God. Well, I don't know, but God's going to take care of it. I don't know how He's going to do it, but God's going to take care of it. Now, have I passed that test? Sometimes. Have I failed it? Lots of times. Right? But when we fail it, unlike school where you just flunk, God just keeps making you take the test again until you pass it. Amen? And I tell you, I want to pass it because I don't have to keep taking the test again. And so though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I cannot fear because the Lord's my shepherd. I will fear no evil. Amen? And the Living Bible says it this way. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. He's close beside me, guarding and guiding all the way. He's right here. The Lord's right here. Right here. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Sitkanu, I am there. He's Jehovah Sitkanu. He's there. You know, anytime you've ever looked up the ceiling and said, Lord, where are you? He's like, you're looking the wrong way. I'm right here. Look right here next to you. I'm right here. Let me read this Living Bible one more time. Even when walking through dark valleys of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding me, guiding me all the way. Praise God. We've all seen that painting, the footsteps where Jesus, the one set of footprints where Jesus is carrying us. And we can trust Him to carry us every day. Amen. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, wait, I skipped part of 4, didn't I? For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. And, of course, that was included in the Living Bible. And that's where they translate, you know, guarding, guiding me, the rod and the staff. Those are things that are guarding and guiding, aren't they? He would guard the sheep with a staff. He would guide them with, you know, if they're going the wrong way, hook them. And no, this way, little sheep, you know. And so he's guarding and guiding. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I love this. You know, there are people who hate God, and because they hate God, they will hate you. Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you too. You would like to think that we don't have enemies, but if you're a child of God, you're going to have enemies. You're going to have people who just, the spirit that's in them hates the spirit that's in you. It's not personal. Don't take it personal. Just recognize this is the heritage of a child of God, right? You're going to have people that just hate you. But he said, he'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you know, when you think about Jesus and how the Pharisees were always trying to trap him, you know, about paying taxes, whose inscription is on it? Caesar. We'll give to Caesar Caesar's, and give to God to God's, you know. And they could never trap him because God was always with him. And you get these enemies trying to do something, and he says, but he'll just prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. You know, and you'll just sit around eating a chicken leg and smiling, and they're stupid because they want to make you hurt. But if the Lord is your shepherd, ain't going to happen, is it? God's going to take care of you. You anoint my head with oil. You know, David talked about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. He said it's like the oil that ran down Aaron's head and down his beard. And oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the most vital person of the Godhead for a Christian. And we are a non-denominational church. I got saved in the Assembly of God, which is predominantly Pentecostal. I know we got several people that come from a background of Baptists. And I don't judge anybody, but we need the Holy Spirit, amen? We need the Holy Spirit in our life, whether you believe in tongues or don't or whatever it is. That oil of the Holy Spirit is the thing that gives us our strength. And, you know, Jesus said, it's expedient I go to the Father. If I don't go, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he was only one person, so to speak, in a single body. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he can fill me and fill you and speak to me and speak to you. And he's omnipresent and he can be everywhere at once, praise God. And so we need the oil of the Holy Spirit. And so he said that after he said, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. And, you know, the reason why Psalm 23 is so popular is because it helps people who are having trouble in their lives. And usually it's emotional. And it could be driven by something physical as well or financial. But it's always the battle is the mind, right, where Satan attacks. And so it's the head that's being anointed with oil. You get that? Your mind is being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And it is helping you to stay focused on God and not dwell on your problems. I can remember years ago I was having financial problems and I was dwelling on my financial problems so bad that I ran right through a red light in Tulsa. And you know how busy Tulsa is, and the Lord was looking out for me. I could have been T-boned. I could have been killed. And you know, when we let our problems dominate our thoughts, That's when the devil wins. And we need the Holy Spirit to pour his oil in our mind and help us to walk with Christ and not allow these things to permeate in our lives. Amen. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Amen. What does it mean to have your cup run over? You know, Jesus used the cup idiomatic for his suffering. Well, I don't want a cup of suffering running over, that's for sure. Amen. But in David's day, you know, the cup was, you know, I don't know. I guess they made pottery in those days. I'm sure they did. But it's not like, you know, where you can go down to the dollar store and buy glasses for a dollar, you know. It probably was a little bit more precious commodity back then. And so, you know, this is my cup. You know, they may have only had one cup. They may not have had a cabinet full of Star Trek cups like I do at home. They may have had one cup that they washed and used. This is my cup, right? And so he says, my cup is running over. It's not just half full. It's not just three quarters full. It's not just right to the brim. It's running over. God is a God of abundance, amen? And there's nothing that he can't do. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And if you need something, God is a God of abundance, amen? And he will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and of course the Oki version of that, and all the taters under him, if you ever heard that before. And so God can do it, amen? He can do anything in your life. He can make your cup run over. In verse 5 in the Living Bible says, you provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. And that's what we're talking about, overflowing blessings. And finally, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like R.W. Shambach said, I've been followed by two people all my life, goodness and mercy. Amen. And so have you. We've been followed by two people all our life, goodness and mercy. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, these two angels called goodness and mercy take up residence right behind you, and they're following you around. And, you know, really, everything that God does is for your benefit and my benefit because he loves us so much. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances is, and it may look bleak, but you can have confidence. You can square your shoulders and say, yeah, but goodness and mercy are following me. Amen? You know, obviously we understand what goodness is. And mercy is that unmerited favor of God. And so the devil, who is a master at pointing out your problems, the accuser of the brethren, he will talk about your sins or your weaknesses or whatever. But mercy doesn't look at your sins, does it? Mercy is merciful. It says, yes, you don't deserve it. You ought not to have it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Goodness and mercy. Praise God. Amen. And so goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the Living Bible says, your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. And you know, what a day that's going to be. It doesn't matter how hard it may be right now. And as I said, you know, for all we know, toward the end of the month, the rapture could take place. So we can't let the trials of life get us down, because one day, though we've waited so long, though it's been talked about for 2,000 years, though my grandmother was expecting it, and other people have lived and died, and when you talk to people about the Lord, yeah, we've heard that all before, but one day, I'm telling you, one day, soon, that trumpet is going to sound. And we will instantly be given a new body. The scripture says, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, we've been redeemed spiritually, and our name is written in heaven, but the complete redemption doesn't happen until we spiritually slide out of this earth suit and put on our eternal suit that Jesus has went away to prepare for us. And it's going to be just like his, which means we can travel at the speed of thought, we can walk through walls, and we will never hunger and we will never die. But if we want to eat, we can, because he ate. It's that glorified body. They were able to put their finger in the holes in his hands and in his side. It'll be a glorified body, and we're going to put it on. We're going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to put on that glorified body, and we're going to live forever and ever and rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Give Jesus a hand clap right there. Amen. And so what a day that's going to be. So whatever you're going through, the psalm ends with this beautiful promise, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to just recap something from D.L. Moody. Years ago, we had a church retreat. We had a lot more people back then at Camp Lutheroma. Has anybody ever been to Camp Lutheroma? As you head out of town, I know, Rick, you probably pass the turnoff for it every time you go home. And we went out there and we had a little retreat. And I preached on the 23rd Psalm. And I found this, so I was looking for it the other day, and I found it again. It's from D.L. Moody. And he takes the 23rd Psalm and he ties in this beautiful picture of what it's saying. And here's what it says. Beneath me, green pastures. Say that with me. Beneath me, green pastures. Beside me, still waters. Beside me, still waters. With me, my shepherd. With me, my shepherd. Before me, a table. Before me, a table. Are you getting this? Around me, my enemies. Around me, my enemies. After me, goodness and mercy. After me, goodness and mercy. Beyond me, the house of the Lord. Beyond me, the house of the Lord. Do you see how God has got us just so wrapped around? Do you see, do you feel the love of God in this? That we've got beneath us green pastures, beside us still waters, with us our shepherd, before us a table, around us our enemies, after us good and mercy, and then just beyond what we can see, the house of the Lord. Amen. So the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm not going to want. He's going to make it for you, for me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this beautiful psalm that so many saints have clung to in hours of fear or desperation. And I just pray, Lord, that something that we've talked about, we will carry with us this week in times of challenge or fear or uncertainty. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, the oil of your Holy Spirit, would permeate our mind. And I pray the power of God would restore our soul, total restoration, letting go of any pain of the past. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to remember that in spite of all the circumstances, soon and very soon, we're going to dwell with you forever and ever. And so we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Even if we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, we thank you because we're not going to fear because you are with us. And Lord, if you're with us, who can be against us? And we say it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.